Hello, everyone. I'm Lynn Fever, and I welcome you to the July 10th, 2025 episode of FreePod.
And I'm Alan Wenzel. Now let's see what's going on. Here's the latest on street closures and road repair within the city of Freeport. As we've mentioned the last couple of weeks, several streets in Freeport are undergoing upgrades to water mains and sewer systems, and some are being repaved. Carroll Avenue is now closed from Galena to Empire for these upgrades, and Blackhawk Avenue between Empire and Dewey Streets is under construction. Construction on Cleveland Street between Burchard and Locust Street is almost completed. Now here's a heads up. Work at the intersection of Park and Stevenson will begin soon, as well as Stevenson Street from Sunset Avenue back to Greenfield Drive. Construction areas are reopened at the end of each day so that residents can park in the driveways. But remember, delays may occur, and please obey signage for everyone's safety.
The Stevenson County Fair is just around the corner. It begins on Tuesday, July 22nd, and continues through Saturday, the 26th. The Carroll County Fair will be coming up soon, too, from August 5th through the 9th. But in addition to all the great food, exhibits, and vendors, big news for this year's Stevenson County Fair, starting on the 22nd, is that gate admission now includes grandstand access. Admission to the fair is $10 per person and includes the general admission to all grandstand events at no extra cost. So for the first time in over 30 years, you can enjoy exciting events like the tractor and truck pulls, the Tough Truck Challenge, concerts, and the Demolition Derby without additional ticket fees. This change gives you more reasons to bring the whole family or to meet up with friends during an unforgettable fair week, July 22nd through 26th. For more info on events and times, visit the fair's website at StevensonCountyFair.org.
Every 3 years, FHN fulfills a federal requirement to determine community health needs and then completes an implementation strategy to address those needs. The 2022 survey and report is posted on FHN's website. FHN hopes everyone will take the opportunity to participate in this year's survey to provide input on what priorities should be addressed through 2028. FreePod and Timbeck 2 host Tim Connors recently visited with FHN Executive Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer Kathy Martinez about this important healthcare project.
I am proud to be at Freeport Health Network this morning, and I am going to be doing a Timbeck 2 podcast with Kathy Martinez. She is Chief Operating and Nursing Officer at FHN. Kathy, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Nice to have you visit FHN early this morning.
Yes, I'll tell you. And it's warm, like it seems to always be around here lately. Kathy, I'm here this morning because FHN has a very important community health needs assessment. What is a community health needs assessment?
So the community health needs assessment, we refer to it as a CHNA for abbreviation, is a requirement every 3 years from the government. It's actually part of the Affordable Care Act. And what it entails is a primary data and secondary data. So some of that data is coming to us from statistics, whether that be the housing affordability or it is food access. Some of it is disease prevalence. And then there's also the ability for FHN to conduct surveys. So we're in the process currently of conducting electronic surveys as well as paper surveys and interviews to really gain the perspective of our community on what the health needs of the community are. We're looking at things such as, again, food insecurity, even security in their homes. So do people feel safe in their homes? As well as what can we do as an organization to help with disease prevention, management, and then also help people as they transition through the different phases of life.
So when is the last time you did a survey like this?
We completed the last survey in 2022. That was still, as we all remember, was in the midst of the pandemic. So our survey, we were pleased to have quite a few respondents to our survey, but it was a bit limited. What it did show us is that during the pandemic, we lost some trust with the public. So really working on the last 3 years of how to rebuild that trust in healthcare. It also showed us that we had some diseases that were really becoming more prevalent, diabetes, hypertension, stroke, and it identified some of the areas where we have low utilization of healthcare services. Whether that's because we don't have an FHN location in that spot, or those individuals truly don't seek out healthcare services as often as they should.
So, Kathy, you say all these things that you found out from this. What actions did FHN take as a result of this survey?
So one of the things that we did was when we received the survey results, we stopped and said, how can we incorporate this into current day activity? Versus having a bunch of different goals that people had to now focus on with different initiatives. So we really circled it around what we call our health domains and our quality domains. So some of the work that's been done has been various education campaigns, whether that be on sepsis or diabetes. We did a lot of work on goals of care. So as you're, again, transitioning through different phases of life, what's your goal? How can we help you accomplish your goal? Whether that's towards the end of life and your goal is to get to your granddaughter's wedding, or you're starting out a family and you want to prevent disease. We also really wanted to engage our patients and their support individuals in the care plan. So we're having a lot more discussions around, what can you do for your own health? And then how can we help you prevent disease? And we've also actually even done additional education on some of the Medicaid exchanges, high deductible plans, et cetera, because that is part of taking care of your own health, is trying to figure out, how to navigate the system efficiently and effectively.
So, of course, 22 was the last time. You now have the 2025 survey. Things change. People change. Ideas change. What kinds of questions are going to be on this 2025 survey?
Some of the questions that we're asking is, again, about diseases. So we want to identify, is there some diseases that we really need to be paying attention to and, refocus energy around? There's quite a bit on the survey about, what can we do better? Where can we serve our population better? Is there a need in a different area? The various counties have different needs, different parts of Freeport have different needs. So what are those needs? Do you want us to come to you? Is it easier for you to come to us? How do we partner with community agencies? Where do you see FHN partnering the strongest with our public agencies? Where do you think we need to partner differently? Again, the community health needs assessment, while it's driven by the healthcare organization, it is a community effort. And this really helps us launch different partnerships that we might not be completing currently, or that we might not have even identified. And this is the opportunity for the public to say, hey, this would be a great idea, and we can look into that.
So I know that there are people that will be listening to this that are like, all right, I'll do this survey, but once I do it, I want to see it. So when will this report, this survey, once it's completed, when will this be available?
The survey will be on the FHN site, and it'll be available at the end of the year. So one of the requirements of the Affordable Care Act is that we have to post it by December 31st. Our goal is to get that up a lot sooner than that, but it will be a report that'll show the data that we use. So it'll show the publicly reported data, as well as the data we captured through interviews and surveys. And then it will outline our action plan for the next 3 years.
So all of my friends and our friends that are out here that are listening to this, they're like, okay, Kathy, Tim, I want to take the survey. Where can they go? Can they go right now to complete the survey?
The survey is live. You can go to our website page at www.fhn.org. It's on the front page is one of the banners that comes across, as well as it's under the community section of the website page. We also do have opportunities with our supportive care teams. They're actually bringing the surveys to patients, And, you know, if they're contacted, they can ensure that our patients get those surveys. We also do have some individuals at various office practices that are trying to capture some individuals while they're there as well to make good use of some of that waiting time.
How long does this survey take to complete?
Survey should take about 10 minutes to complete. It's pretty easy. And it really just depends on how much feedback you're willing to give us.
Do you have to answer every question?
You do not have to answer every question. And if there's a question you don't understand, there's a comment section that you could ask further questions and give us your contact information. Otherwise, you can just bypass it.
I'm a survey guru. I like taking surveys. So I guess a question is, okay, so I'm taking the survey. It's online. If I send it, it's done. But if I kind of hold on to it, how long, what's the cutoff date for me to continue to give my input?
The cutoff date is August 1st. And really, the purpose of August 1st is because we have to compile all that data and then again, develop our action plan before the end of December. So it shortens up our timeline. But we'd like all the surveys completed by August 1st.
So again, in order to take this survey, you go to the website, and the website address is
www.fhn.org.
So anything else here at FHN you'd like to give us some information about, or we just focused on the survey today?
Just focused on the survey, and we'd appreciate if you would participate.
Well, I'm going to. I know that because I love my FHN. Kathy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
You can link to the survey on the FHN website at fhn.org, and it only takes about 10 minutes to complete.
Are you ticked off about ticks? Recent mild winters and warmer spring and summer temperatures have increased the tick population in Illinois. Ticks usually have a 2 to 3 year life cycle, and normal winters with cold temperatures and consistent snow kill off many ticks. But warmer daily highs and nightly lows can result in the population explosion that we've been seeing around here over the past 2 years. Dr. Jack Herman, a retired veterinarian and professor emeritus from the U of I, says that the current increase in tick populations and the threat of new tick-borne diseases was predicted in a paper that he and his colleagues published 12 years ago. He wrote, "Tick species have migrated north with warmer temperatures. So in addition to having to worry about Lyme disease from deer ticks, we now have to worry about Rocky Mountain spotted fever, anaplasmosis, and ehrlichiosis. The ticks that typically carry those diseases were isolated before to central and southern Illinois, but now they're here. So what should we do? During the spring and summer months, if you're in woody or weedy areas, it's a good idea to wear light-colored protective clothing, such as long-sleeve shirts, long pants with cuffs tucked into socks, and a head covering. You can also apply insect repellent containing 10 to 30% DEET to clothes and sparingly to exposed skin. Longer-lasting repellents containing permethrin can also be used to treat clothes, especially pants and socks and shoes, but not your skin. Also, in overgrown areas, walk in the center of trails so weeds don't brush against you. And check yourself, your children, and other family members every 2 or 3 hours for ticks, since most ticks seldom attach quickly and rarely transmit disease organisms until they've been attached for 4 or more hours. If your pets spend time outdoors, check them for ticks too, and consult your vet for the best preventative products. If you have unexplained illnesses with fever after having been outdoors in areas where ticks were present, or traveling to areas where tick-borne diseases are common, contact a physician and be sure to tell them you've been outdoors in areas where there may have been ticks. So that's good advice. Thanks, Jack.
Next Tuesday, July 15th, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., the Stevenson County Farm Bureau and the Stevenson County Health Department will sponsor a free family presentation about disaster preparedness. Now, participants will learn how to prepare themselves and their family for the unexpected. There's no charge for this event, which will be held at the Farm Bureau building on Spring Street. A light dinner will be provided, and each household will leave the meeting with starter items for their disaster preparedness kit. Space is limited, so reserve your spot today by calling 815 232 3186. Remember, the program is free and open to the public, but you must reserve a spot. Call 815-232-3186.
And other than ticks, do you have more outdoor-related questions? Like, what can I do about those shiny bugs that keep eating my flowers? Or, is this a weed or a tasty herb? Is my garden soil healthy? If you have gardening questions, let the U of I Extension Master Gardeners help you find the answers. Their free service provides research-based information for the home gardener. You can call the Stevenson County Master Gardener Hotline at 815-235-4125 or submit your questions online at extension.illinois.edu. So that's 815-235-4125 or under horticulture on the website for the U of I Extension in Stevenson, Winnebago, and Joe Davies counties. You might as well know what the real answer to those gardening questions is.
It's time to take a look at events in the coming week. Tonight, July 10th, at Debate Square, Ukulele Express will be performing, beginning at 6:30 p.m. as part of Music on Debate Square concert series. As I said, the music starts at 6:30 at the square, which is located between the Freeport Library and Union Dairy. Shows are free and last about an hour, but donations are always accepted and appreciated. Bring a lawn chair and arrive early for a good spot. And on Friday, the Freeport Park District is also hosting a free outdoor music event with music on the patio at the Park Hills Golf Course on Friday evening from 5 to 8 p.m. And then, of course, don't miss Freeport's Toddy Baker Festival in downtown Freeport beginning tomorrow, Friday, July 11th at 5 p.m. and continuing through Sunday. A carnival, parade, petting zoo, fireworks, axe throwing, and lots of other activities are planned for attendees of all ages. And on Saturday, be sure to stop by the Free Pod booth at the Stevenson County Farmers Market from 8 to noon in the downtown parking lot across from the post office. We'll have some fun raffles and more information about Free Pod for everyone who stops by the booth.
If you're hungry tomorrow or Saturday, this weekend, the Cub Foods Brat Stand will be run by the Freeport Noon Kiwanis. They'll be there both Friday and Saturday from 11 to 5, serving brats, burgers, hot dogs, and ribeye sandwiches. And on Sunday, don't miss the Music Under the Stars concert by the Freeport Concert Band at 7 o'clock at the Koenig Amphitheater in Crape Park. You can still register for FHN's Healthy Heart Hustle 5K for some healthy heart fun that raises money to support the FHN Cardiopulmonary Department. The timed race and a one-mile victory lap for alumni, kids, and families will take place on Saturday, July 19th, starting at 7 a.m. at the FHN Family Health Care Center, Orchard Hills. For more information and to register, visit the FHN website. And remember, if you're looking for something to do this week or any week, visit the Greater Freeport Partnership website at greaterfreeport.com or subscribe to the City of Freeport's monthly newsletter at cityoffreeport.org. We have links to both of these in the print version of this episode.
In closing, if you haven't already done so, be sure to listen to this week's in-depth interview where Tim Beck II host Tim Connors interviews Xavier Lissandro, a Freeport High School graduate currently in a senior year at West Virginia University. Lissandro is a master puppeteer who makes his own puppets and has worked with a number of professional puppet masters. The interview is available online and can be listened to at any time. And next Tuesday, July 15th, I will be interviewing Kate Boyer, executive manager for the Stevenson County Fair that begins on Tuesday, July 22nd. Our conversation will post at noon on Tuesday, July 15th, and again, will be available to listen to at any time. Just head to our website or to your favorite podcast platform. As always, FreePod could not come to you without the Mass Communications Department at Highland Community College and our community liaisons and reporters. Thank you, Team FreePod. And you can always find us on our Facebook page or on our website or the National Public Radio partner, WNIJ in DeKalb, at their website at northernpublicradio.org. For more information, including how to make a tax-deductible contribution to support our work, visit our website at freepod.org. That's it. Time's up for this week. Tune in again next Thursday at noon or anytime after that on our website or your favorite podcast platform for more about what's happening in Freeport. Thank you for listening.